And we're ready to move into chapter 12 of Zechariah. Verse 1 of chapter 12 says, "The burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord, which stretcheth forth the heavens, and layeth the foundation of the earth, and formeth the spirit of man within him." The burden of the word refers to the problems Israel will have as a result of the truths given in this prophecy. The prophecy describes a future siege against the nation, indicating that there would be a significant devastation before there was repentance and conversion in Israel. This is the word of the Lord, but it is a divine prediction. But it's concerning Israel, and it's for their ultimate comfort and benefit. Since this prophecy is from the Lord, verse 1 gives further descriptions of some of God's works. God is the creator of the world and our creator. He has dominion over all. He stretches out the heavens and keeps them stretched out like a curtain, and he will continue to do so until the end comes. He lays the foundation of the earth and keeps it fixed on its own axis, though it is founded upon the seas. Psalms 24, 1 and 2, "The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein, for he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Although it is suspended over nothing." Job 26:7 says, "He stretcheth out the north over the empty place, and hangeth the earth upon nothing. He formeth the spirit of man within him. He has given us breath." Job 12:10, "In whose hand is the soul of every living thing, and the breath of all mankind." He not only breathed into the first man, but still breathes into every person the breath of life. He is showing that God is all-powerful and is in control. Verse 2 says, "Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about, when they shall be in the siege, both against Judah and against Jerusalem." He shows that Jerusalem will be attacked by her enemies, but protected by God. Whatever is brought against the church by her enemies, whatever attack is made against her purity or peace, will be repelled by the protection of God. Although Jerusalem appears to be in danger, actually God will provide it with safety. Those who fight against Jerusalem will be in danger. Thus, for example, Alexander the Great was amazed when he met Jadus, the high priest, and was kept from committing violence against Jerusalem. When Sennacherib laid siege against Judah and Jerusalem, he found such a cup of stupefying wine that in one night 185,000 Assyrians were caused to die. 2 Kings 19:35. These are just examples of what God is promising here as he promises to protect Jerusalem. Psalm 76:5-6, "The stout-hearted are spoiled, they have slept their sleep, and none of the men of might have found their hands. At thy rebuke, O God of Jacob, both the chariot and the horse are cast into a deep sleep." Verse 3 says, "And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it." Jerusalem shall be an immovable rock. He calls it a burdensome stone for all people. Those who wanted to advance the kingdom of sin in the world looked upon Jerusalem as the great obstacle to their purpose. The world today looks this same way on the church. They want to have it out of the way, but they cannot remove it. God will protect his people in the world in spite of them. The church is built upon a rock, as was Mount Zion built upon a rock. Psalms 125, verse 1, "They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever." This rock, cut out of a mountain, but not only by human hands, will injure all who try to move it. This promise ultimately applies to the New Testament church. Daniel 2:44-45, "And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom, which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it brake in pieces the iron the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure." Our Savior seems to refer to this prophecy here in Zechariah when he speaks of himself as an immovable rock to those who will not have him for a foundation stone. Matthew 21:44 says, "And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder." Verse 4 of Zechariah 12, "In that day, saith the Lord, I will smite every horse with astonishment, and his rider with madness, and I will open mine eyes upon the house of Judah, and will smite every horse of the people with blindness." Here again, God is showing that he will protect his people, Jerusalem. Horses, ancient symbols of strength, are shown to be powerless against God. The greatest weapon devised by Israel's enemies is powerless against God. God will have his eyes over his people and will ever be ready and able to protect them. Verse 5 says, "And the governors of Judah shall say in their heart, the inhabitants of Jerusalem shall be my strength in the Lord of hosts their God." The leaders of Jerusalem will have more confidence knowing that God is protecting the city. But God protects the people of Jerusalem because they have the Lord of hosts for their God. This strongly indicates that the people protected by God were the people who believed in God. God's people, in all dispensations, must have faith in order to have God. This same principle applies to us today. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Verse 6 says, "In that day will I make the governors of Judah like an hearth of fire among the wood, and like a torch of fire in a sheaf. And they shall devour all the people round about, on the right hand and on the left, and Jerusalem shall be inhabited again in her own place, even in Jerusalem." Here God is using figurative language to show that he will protect Jerusalem in the latter days. However, much this may apply to the literal Jerusalem under the laws of Moses, it certainly applies to the New Testament church. The hearth of a fire among wood is translated as a fire pan in the wood pile. A fire pan was used to carry the hot coals. When placed in a wood pile, of course, the wood pile would be devoured. A torch in a sheaf would be to place a fire in a stack of hay. Thus, the power of God will devour the enemies of God's people. He will defeat the armies that attack Jerusalem, and this includes the protection God gives his church in the Mosaical dispensation as well as in the Christian dispensation. This would seem to include that period of the New Testament church in which the man of sin had risen to power and dominated the world for 1260 years, 533 to 1793 A.D., and then he lost much of his power for a figurative 1,000 years when he was cast into the bottomless pit, Revelation 20. This 1,000 years is figurative, but it seems to be the time verse 6 would apply to in our chapter. The true church can come out of hiding and can grow and thrive due to God's protection. I believe the church is in that time now. The church can worship now, can worship God freely without fear of persecution by the laws of the land. The members can own and study the Bible, which was outlawed when Catholic Church had more power. But we must remember that the prophecy in Revelation teaches that Satan will be loosed for a little season. So there may yet be more persecution by the apostate church at a future time. We must close our lesson at that point. Till next time, this is N.C. Crouch saying, goodbye, friends.